What's up? How is everyone?
I had some spooky technical difficulties.
Oh, okay. I think you said you had some spooky testicles.
No. They're quite normal.
Halloween balls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so...
Are we ready to rock? Is it Large Marge in the truck?
It could be.
It could be a large Marge Halloween.
Oh man.
Tell them Marge sent you.
Man, did that scare you guys when you were kids?
Yeah. Well, let's officially start. Are we officially started or?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Let's light this Halloween jack o' lantern.
Ooh.
This Halloween jackass.
Not even like spooky technical difficulties can stop us on this All Hallowed Eve for another epidose.
Exactly. How was your guys' Halloween?
Mundane.
Yeah.
You know what? Mine too. At work, it didn't even really do anything either.
Yeah, I mean, we had the property management show up and give us a bag of candy, and it was like the kind that didn't have any chocolate in it. And that was the extent of our Halloween celebration.
We got free lunch vouchers if we wore a costume today. And it's not like it was to some place good, like Eric's Deli. It was just to the catering place that served lunch in our cafeteria. So my group, we dressed as M&Ms. Like, we just had, like, each had a colored T-shirt with an M on it and white gloves. And then, so we got a voucher, and there was no pictures taken, really, and it was just pretty lame. And I've had no trick-or-treaters, which I didn't expect any.
Did you get the rectangle pizza with diced pepperoni on it in the cafeteria?
No. You know, what is it that there's a pizza place that does that on Halloween? Is it Papa Murphy's that does the Halloween pizza?
Oh, really?
Like with, yeah, they cut the little pepperonis into shapes and stuff.
I thought they just did a big pepperoni pizza, but they put it in jack-o'-lantern shape on the pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. I was being way too, like, over-the-top artistic.
No,
that would take forever.
I'm thinking more of the lunchroom square pizza. You know, they cook in the giant
pizza.
Now, it's kind of Greek. Now, yesterday we did do this, I don't know if you'd call it Halloween, but we had this company outing at some place called Top Golf, which is basically a sports bar with like a golfing range next to it. And like you can walk outside and hit balls, and there's like technology that like calculates distance, and you get points for hitting it in certain areas. And it's like bowling and like golfing range thing combined. But we got some free
food. Are you good at golfing?
What?
Are you good at it? Are you good at it?
I have no control. And, it was a reminder yesterday why I quit way back in high school.
I can't hit a golf ball. I think I've only tried like one time or so. It doesn't really appeal to me.
Well, as my wife would attest, I'm naturally clumsy when it comes to the balls. And, I always try to force it, and I'm not joking, although I can see where we're going. But when I stand up to the tee, I just like kind of, I feel there's no like through the ball kind of thing. I just want to like, it's like the punching bag thing, right? I just want to hit it as hard as I can.
Yeah.
I have a natural tendency that I've never shaken off, even when I had a cheapo set of clubs in high school, and that's why I gave it up. I was like, nah. It's not my thing. But we had free food yesterday. They didn't spring for the beer. So I had a spooky, scary bar tab yesterday.
Ooh. This is a spooky bar tab. My wife is going to kill me.
Today, the extent of my Halloween celebration was that we did nothing. Nobody dressed up. The only guy I saw dressed up was a wizard that was in the bathroom while I was taking a piss.
You got to see a wizard taking a piss, so it's
no,
Halloween
it
isn't totally a lot.
It was some dude putting on a costume in the bathroom while I had to take a piss. So, he's hi, how you doing? And he's got like... He looks like the wizard on the cereal boxes. Fucking.
I would imagine like when a wizard takes a piss, like lightning bolts shoot out. It's like really amazing. It's not just a piss. And the urinal is just smoking when he's done.
The lightning bolt burn marks look like veins on his wang.
I'm just picturing the Harry Potter scar as veins on a wang. Ooh, scary. Look at my wife.
Scary veiny
look at
penis,
this
wizard penis.
Veiny. This is the scariest episode yet. We've already, like, a scary bar tab, and we've already talked about veins on a wang. It's a pretty terrifying shit right now.
I was disappointed. Ooh, I was disappointed that the property management didn't bring over a spring for a chocolate bag. It was like 10 different varieties of Tootsie Rolls and like Blow Pops and Dots, and that was it. I wish they had some chocolate because I'm of German heritage, so I love all things chocolate.
Yeah, I kind of gave myself an extra boost this afternoon, and I drank a cup of coffee and ate a packet of M&M's. No, I was like, I thought my heart was going to stop from, like, the M&M's and the coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Ooh, scary snack. Every time somebody says something scary, just hit it, Tim.
So, we had no visitors, but we're in an apartment complex, so it's like, whatever. You're supposed to hang a special thing on your door to, like, let them know that you're giving out candy.
Is it you hang out your Namba flag on the door?
No, my scary Namba flag.
Ooh. If I would have had any trick-or-treaters, I probably would have been more scared of the trick-or-treaters because you would have to be one brave person to come up, like, in this place because there's some strange people in my building and you would have to come up like the stairs and if like I'm like it would probably be some like yeah it's probably somebody looking for some crack or something but I mean it's weird. I mean I live in a nice town but as I always say that like the difference between the right turn and the left turn out of my house can make it out of my apartment can be a whole different world so but it's been pretty quiet here. I haven't even seen any kids on the street. Like it's just like a normal day. But they are showing Halloween movies and stuff. So that's why I like TV more this time of year.
Yeah, I was at Master Pancake last week and I saw Halloween, and I can't remember if I talked about it, but they did a great. Yeah, I did because Mary Jo Peel was there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say because
did we talk about that?
I don't know if you did not. You posted about it.
Oh, yeah. So Mary Jo Peel from Mystery Science Theater 2000 was helping out with this latest edition of Master Pancake. And they did Halloween. And, man, it's like that old Aristotle story of the man being chained down in the cave not knowing... You know, that he's seen the light and he's still content with being chained down. And then the one guy who had the chains free and he came out of the cave and he had that moment of clarity. With me, that moment of clarity was that Halloween sucked as a movie. And they did a pretty good job. They did a pretty good job of pointing it out. Like there really wasn't a lot of action. The scariness was kind of goofy because it was just him standing in the background staring at him. It was almost like a pedophile more than anything else. And that's, yeah. I mean, sure, that's scary, but I don't know how super scary that is. And then...
Well, I just read an article today when I can't remember what the site was, but they had a lot of really good stories about like horror movies and stuff. And they did this like study with people in their 20s and they showed them Halloween to see if it was scary. And they were like... This is funny. You know, this isn't good at all.
Yeah.
I guess there's even a Vine video of their reactions. And so it was interesting you would say that because one of the people were like, yeah, I just built it up in my mind that it was really scary. And you know, and it's just not.
Are we
desensitized, do you think? I mean,
no,
or do you think it's
as
not...
kids we're scared of things that we see later in life turn out to be retarded.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously. You're legitimately
like
scared
your, like
of...
your uncle naked.
Well,
like a naked uncle?
Oh, I was never scared
him.
Of that. Sir.
Ooh. Very good uncle. Jack-o'-lantern testicle. Ooh.
Yeah, we're lighting this jack-o'-lantern is what we're doing. No, it's like you guys admit it. You guys were all scared of Wolfman before he got kicked in the nards in the Monster Squad.
So. I had to send that link out last week to somebody because I said the Wolfman's got nards and they had no idea what I was talking about.
But as a kid, that shit was horrifying, and that's why it was so cool that Frankenstein turned to be a good guy, because it was all like you're supposed to be scared of him, but then he's like he turned face and then he totally took out the HOWL.
I guess that movie, like they redid it and just recently put it out on DVD too. So Monster Squad is like it's considered a cult classic.
Like I mean, look at us. We will be reviewing a movie this week where the intention was obviously to be comedic to begin with, but.
Like it?
Then we'll have to
sure?
set on that. We reviewed movies ourselves here in this very Epidose set of podcasts that like display movies that were intentionally supposed to be scary, but we watched them. We laughed our asses off at them. So
yeah,
it's like you see that now with like. Well, I saw that last Friday with Halloween because I'm like, yeah, they're right. They say they say it's the locations Haddonfield, Illinois, but there's fucking lemon trees and there's no leaves around in the fall. Like this is bullshit. I can't do that. So yeah, they had fun pointing it out that they really just filmed it in some LA neighborhood. it was supposed to be in the fall in the Midwest, and they said they had just one guy with one big sack of fake leaves that they'd have to throw it across the lawn to get the look and clean it up after they got done, like filming or shit like that. So it's pretty funny.
I hadn't seen Halloween for a really really long time, and but I had kind of the reverse of that. How you said you watched it and it wasn't scary, and I called. I was actually texting Tim like during the day, but. I realized that I had never seen Jaws all the way through. And that movie actually, I don't know if you want to call that a horror movie, could you?
Thriller?
But I have to say, like my cheeks were pretty clamped shut on a few points. Even though I knew what was going on and I know what happens, it was pretty good. It was kind of like, that seemed to help to hold up. And I think the first Alien holds up.
Well,
for like a scary
like the,
movie
the,
from my...
That's like the fear of what's not known or not seen. That's a little more terrifying than, you know, seeing the ginger dead man kill somebody in Disco 70s or something.
The scariest movie I've seen recently is Contagion. About a super flu.
It's which one?
Contagion. It's about a super flu and it's terrifying because it's very real. But...
I always like to say that the scariest horror movie that I've seen is the 50 Days of Summer, or whatever it is.
Oh, wait,
that movie.
50 Days of
What's it called? No. The one with the Zoe Deschanel and Gordon. What is that called?
100 Days of Summer or 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, that movie's terrifying because I love that movie. It's like I watched it on screen and I was like, this is fucking horrific. Like, I never need to see this again. I fucking live this movie, and it's the scariest movie. There's also a movie called Flannel Pajamas that's terrifying, too. And actually, This Is 40 is kind of terrifying, too, for horror movies, because I've had some of those exact conversations. So that's what really scares me, in those movies. The other ones, like the, you know, like Halloween and Friday and all those, I'm like, oh, those are fun. I like those. They're light. But the romantic comedy. Forget about it.
Rom-coms.
Yeah, those are terrifying. Should we delve into this yet another chapter and I'm angry at Tim for making me watch this movie?
Let's light this jack-o'-lantern.
That was really painful.
So Tim, what is it?
Wasn't it terrible?
By the way, did you pay for this piece of garbage?
No. I had found it free. So.
What's the name of the movie?
It says something about Amazon. Piece of shit.
No,
Dog shit incarnate.
Right. It was free through my Amazon Prime membership, so
you pay too much.
No, it's not. That's for other stuff. That's for shipping. This is.
I'm saying the zero, it being free, was too much to pay for.
Well, I'll tell them to send me a dollar.
Go ahead and do the introduction and tell us how you came across this putrid gem.
I actually saw this movie on.
What's the name of it?
It is Dead and Breakfast. And just in case, when you're watching the credits, if you're not sure what the name of the movie is, they make a big point of animating they cross out bed and put dead over top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, Shel Silverstein did it or something.
There's a little bit of animation to it. But I saw this and I watched it all the way through the first time on IFC one night. They used to show, I'm doing air quotes, they used to show scary movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, like late at night on Fridays for a while, a couple years back. And this was one of them that popped up. And I watched it because I kind of just sat there and befuddled, I don't know, bewilderment or something. I just sat there because I'm like, are they really going to have musical interludes in this?
But you know what, though? That guy wasn't bad. I'm eating candy. That guy was bad.
I hope you brought enough for every episode.
He was actually the most consistent and like strongest point of the movie. To be fair,
he wasn't bad. I didn't think he was that bad. I mean, one of the songs I was like, it's kind of catchy. I mean, he was at least talented. I mean,
No, fuck that. As soon as he started rapping, I was ready to blow the fucking TV apart.
Well. I was in Hokie, this is to one of your points about movies, and Tim and I were talking about this the other night. It's like when movies like this are that bad, why don't they throw some boobs in it to kind of give you like a forgiveness, you know, like a little forgiving allowance?
I mean, it's all like in the same part of the brain, right? It's all part of the titillation kind of deal, right? So, you know, why not, you know?
You couldn't pay one of the women like a little bit extra to be like, okay, we know this is bad, but you know, maybe somebody will buy this movie because this woman was really attractive to him, and they got to see him, you know, in that state. I don't understand with this movie if they really thought it was funny, but then at times they were almost trying to be serious. It's won awards. I looked it up on Wikipedia. It's won awards at film festivals in 2000.
Like, what kind of awards? Because we can get into Razzie territory.
No, it wasn't. I mean, granted, it wasn't like, you know,
independent real film contest awards and things.
Yeah. I mean, but even then, I mean, I'm not saying that those are probably the most prestigious awards, but it's like somebody watched this and thought either it was funny or it was entertaining or both, and it's just like I don't get it.
Wow, I can't believe it won awards. That's, no, that's, that's, it won some scary awards.
You're never going to get that hour and 45 minutes back of your life.
I ain't going in no cage.
And you know, it has one of my least favorite actors ever in it, too.
David Carradine?
Jeremy... No, I said one of my least favorite, not one of my favorites.
Jeremy Sisto.
I hate Jeremy Sisto with like a passion. When he showed up, I was like, oh, he's a king douche. I mean, my old roommate loved him. Like, she thought he was going to be like the big breakout star. So obviously not. So.
Well, just so you know, he was in a short movie in 2012 called Blow Me. He played the part of Golden Boy.
I hate him so much that I was hoping they didn't have a budget for special effects, and he actually really was decapitated in the movie. Huh. That's... I don't like him.
Jeremy, we're running a little tight on the budget, so he's just going to whack
Olaf?
I don't know if he would... Would you actually have that discussion with somebody before you lop their head off, or would you just do it and just hold it like a... Ask forgiveness over permission.
You just go, hey, you know, the guy with the axe, he's really method. So just keep that in mind as we do the scene. He gets real into it. It's a prop act, right? What? Never mind, acting.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Lee dies filming The Crow. I mean, you tell me they couldn't accidentally kill Jeremy's sister during this movie.
Just so you know, in his Jeremy's sister's bio, in his bumper, his like head paragraph, it mentions that Jeremy likes to play bocce, Italian bowling, and play his guitar in his spare time.
I like bocce ball, but I don't anymore. I won't play it anymore now.
He's been in a really important movie. It just says he likes to do this.
Yeah, because like the big time actors like of our generation, like it doesn't really start off with their bios about their hobbies.
Yeah, he likes to pick his boogers and eat it. Plus, he's been in the Titanic. It's like, what?
Yeah,
I think it'd be a good idea to put the Titanic sentence up ahead of the booger picking and eating.
Well, but here's how warped my mind is: like, if the booger picking and eating would probably fascinate me more than credits and talent.
if only to get past the scary threshold of actually eating a booger.
Ooh.
And let me just say, they're pronounced boogers.
One, two, three boogers.
Three under my desk.
One, two, three boogers on my cat. Oh, man.
So it's Dead and Breakfast, and we've already had fun with Jeremy's sister, but Tim, what is this movie, what's this movie about? What happens?
Alright, you got a RV full of dumbasses going to a wedding.
All the girls were hot, though, didn't you think? Didn't you think all the girls were attractive?
I think they did all right.
This reminded me a lot of that Rey Mysterio movie we watched.
The which one?
The Rey Mysterio one.
Oh, yeah. But they didn't have that annoying porno guy. That was our last year's Halloween one.
Yeah, it was. I see a couch.
Yeah. That would be her and Conrad on your grandma.
Yes, exactly. What was it? I forgot the movie.
Lucha Murder?
It was the Lucha Libre guy who had murder.
Wrestle Murder or something?
Oh, WrestleManiac.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There we go. Lucha Murder? Where did that come from?
I don't know, but if that's the sequel, I'm in.
How was that all? I need to get to work on
that. That said, next year we probably won't watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre just because it's way too upper crust for our tastes.
Well, we kind of have a theme going, like, on Halloween to watch a movie with people in an RV of some sort getting stranded. This is 2 years in a row.
So we're already giving a teaser for next year.
So I want to
see scary teaser.
Ooh, spoilers.
Train.
Oh, man, rock it out. You can play a little guitar, though.
Anyway,
little
no,
Yingming Mountain.
Then we got a DeVito Braver. Yeah. Wrong song. Well, that would be cool if someone did record that riff and then go straight into like the long ass solo, organ solo from Inagata da Vida.
I like that song though.
The guy originally wrote it is in the Garden of Eden, but he was drunk and he wrote it on the napkin.
Yeah.
And it came out as Inagata da Vida.
You... It's kind of sweet that you said that guy was drunk. That's being very kind. That guy was tripping balls. That guy was seen into another dimension, man. You can't get to another dimension through Coors Light.
Another dimension.
Dimension. Anyway, sorry. So these douchebags are going to a wedding, right?
They are going to a wedding. They don't spend a whole lot of time giving you your exposition, but they're in this RV. Yeah, they're not all. A couple of them are friends. A couple of them are like just going because they're related to them. But for some reason, they're driving an RV to an unknown location that they do mention at some point, but it doesn't seem congruent with where they stop.
They're going to Galveston.
They're going to Galveston. I didn't think it was like Texas to me, but it's just me.
Yeah. It didn't look very Texas.
It looked a lot California-y to me. But anyway, so they're going to this wedding thing. One of the guys in the front wrote down roadkill for some reason.
He can say a prayer for him when he gets there. So they establish the fact that he's uber religious.
Yeah, so Captain Religion's up front. And they don't have the map, and so they dig out the map, and they decide they're going to pull off into this town called Lovelock. And they get some gas from a guy, a full band that is set up outside a shitty gas station with amps and everything. Just playing for the hell of it, and they go ahead, and they also run the gas station.
What did you think about the part when he actually had his own guy doing the rim shots? When he was, like, kind of hitting on the girl and, like, flirting with her, and he could go... No, I'm serious. No, I'm kidding. Oh, that's so annoying. Oh, horrible. Sorry.
No, it's so they do that. Then they're like, we need somewhere to stay. This town sucks. So there's this one bed and breakfast, but bad shit happens there. And they go up the road, and it is owned by David Carradine and run by Diedrich Bader.
I gotta tell you, this is a shoot. I forgot because like I started watching it and then I finished it tonight and I forgot that David Carradine's name comes in the credits. So when I came home today and finished watching it, I forgot about that. And when David Carradine showed up on the screen, I out loud, and I'm telling you the truth, I said, "God damn it, Tim." It was like you fooled me again. It was like Charlie Brown in the football. Like I'm watching a movie and he shows up. Like, God damn it, Tim.
You know, there's two Carradines in that movie.
There's what? There's another Carradine?
One of the girls is a Carradine.
How many kids did he have? Did he have a lot of kids?
I don't know if it's his kid or his grandkid. It could be his grandkid. Her name, Everett Carradine.
Which girl was his? Which girl was the character?
It was the one who pretty much chainsawed everybody.
Oh, I liked her. I realized from this movie that I like ladies with big noses and big eyebrows. So, like, a woman wearing a Groucho Marx glasses would probably be it.
So you look at a woman like that and you're like, those are some childbearing eyebrows right there.
Well, that one girl who was wearing the scarves and stuff, I was like, oh, she's pretty. Like, ooh, she's got big eyebrows. Because girls, like, pluck their eyebrows to death now. They're, like they're all painted on. I'm like, I kind of miss that. I kind of miss the big eyebrows. But this movie was shot in 2004. I thought it was, like, a 96, 97.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Because they played the Verve Pipe in it, that freshman song, like, for a little bit.
They sprung for the rights for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and why that song in 2004? Wasn't that song was big in? Is that right though? Is that when that song was big around there, like 2004? I thought it was like
the Verve Pipe thing was like in the 90s, I think.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. I get confused.
Like, the Verve Pipe's cousin's brother's sister was like the producer for the movie, so they
threw right. It.
But did we catch the other cameo in the film?
Diedrich Bader?
No, did you catch Portia de Rossi?
No.
She was the bride when she called to tell her she couldn't make the wedding.
I don't know who Portia de Rossi is. Isn't that Ellen's girlfriend?
She's Ellen's girlfriend, the lady from Arrested Development.
I didn't watch a lot of Arrested Development. I kind of tried too hard. We talked about this, I think, before in a podcast. didn't we doo-doo on Arrested Development like a bunch of arrogant...
Oh yeah, I don't know. Some of it's kind of funny, but
It is sometimes it is kind of funny, but it just it is. I feel like it is trying too hard to be like, it's like too precious for its own good.
Yeah, like wow, we're so wacky, and look at this crazy situation with. Look, he's wearing jean shorts that are cut off. Oh, it's just kooky. It's like, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah. let's just get a little movie clip time here. Okay. We referenced this earlier. This is the blonde lady walking up to the band who runs the gas station.
Okay.
Excuse me.
What can I
tell
you for?
Is attendant around here?
Well, that'd be me. Name's Randall Keith Randall. Gas station attendant, mechanic, musician.
Here.
Hey, all right. You like the music that much, huh?
Oh,
cool.
That was a spooky rim shot.
Look, we need a... Okay.
Yeah, man, what you looking for? 4-star or 5-star?
I had a feeling.
That's a lot of the interaction there. You got a little bit of his music.
I think that this guy wrote this song about this movie. He did what he thinks he fancied himself some sort of a Bob Dylan. I'm going to write a story about a song or something. And then they decided to make the whole movie, because I mean I don't want to end. I don't want to say what happens at the end when the credits are rolling, but let's just say there's some synopsis going on.
I think we can ruin Ramsey. They pretty much sing the.
Can I ruin it? Yeah, they did. I mean, in great detail too. I don't know. Horse shit. Sorry, I'm eating more candy.
And you're not sharing. You're eating some spooky candy that you're not sharing.
I would share if you guys are here. I stole a whole bunch of candy from work today, just in case I had trick or treaters. So they get right into it, like right away, where it's like they don't really even do any of that lead up to it, where it's like. Who's the killer or anything. They just kind of just start with just blood and guts and, I mean, which I guess would be okay if it was a good movie if they hit the ground running, but this was kind of like, no suspense or build up. I didn't think.
Word. Ugh, this is bad.
Timmy, this is your dog turn, Tim, so you can just keep doing it down.
All right, so some stuff happens. They go to bed and breakfast. Stop talking to me, Sisto. They go up to the bed and breakfast. The French chef guy, Dietrich Bader, they basically are dickwads and insult him. One guy's drunk off his ass for some reason. They make a big mess of things, but then the night comes along and one guy's in the kitchen eating pie and they turn the light on and Dietrich Bader's stuck to the wall with a knife.
Right. And so what my question about this was, because, I mean, Dietrich Bader, did he... I don't know how much he got paid or if he was just doing this for fun.
I figured somebody was calling in a bunch of favors for this movie.
There's some stuff that was in this and I'm thinking, all right, they called that in. They got this person, they got that.
Although with Dietrich Bader's fake-ass French accent, I'm like, maybe they have something to hang over his head.
But he looked like he was about to start laughing every time he talked. But he was like, "You piece of shit," you know. But it was almost just, like he knew that this is a big pile of turds. This whole movie was.
Yeah, so. I mean, maybe it was a paycheck, and maybe he knew somebody on this. We'd be in it, and it'd be over the top. Doesn't have to be serious. I don't know, but he really does. I mean, he has a background. He was born in France, so. Yeah, he grew up in France.
How do you know so much about Dietrich Bader?
What's that?
How do you know so much about Dietrich Bader? Yeah,
I listened to him once. It was in one of the podcasts.
Oh yeah, but that's right. I listened to that one too. It was funny. It was good. I like him though. I love the Drew Carey Show. I stand by it. I loved the Drew Carey Show. That was a good show. It got a little dumb at the end, but good show.
Oh, you mean where Drew Carey all of a sudden was in a band? and he was like super cool.
When he what?
When Drew Carey was all of a sudden in a band and he was like super cool all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just, I think any sitcom after, I mean, like, look at Roseanne. I mean, Roseanne, I used to really like.
I won't look at Roseanne.
Yeah. No. Spooky Roseanne.
Backfield in motion.
Oh, what is... But, so, yeah, so we're agreed that, oh, and so, but the guy David, I thought was actually a really good actor. Like, he was the only one. I was like, hey, he's not bad. I looked him up on IMDb, and he's pretty much the only one that's really doing consistent work. He's been, like Law and Order and a whole bunch of different
movies. The kind of subdued Italian kind of...
Yeah, guy. Yeah. The tough guy who was drunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I knew I'd seen him somewhere else, but...
Yeah, if you look at his credentials, he's legit. And yeah. And it's kind of like... He was one of the guys in the movie where you kind of go... You know how you can, like, you see guys and you go, well, he'd probably be better in something else. I mean, you know, because he was at least, I don't know, he's a little more likable. I don't know, he became kind of funny at times. But anyway, so anyhow, we better, God, let's burn through this turd.
Okay, so I'll give you the quick sense. So they go in the house, he dies. Dead Frenchman, David Carradine, he's got a little box that captures a soul that I think is his dead son. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, if you get the box and it gets open, this little evil spirit flies in somebody's body and it flies in the guy, the nice guy, the kind of odd guy with him.
The overly religious guy. And that's where it started to lose me, because I think they tried too hard to make fun of A, like, overly religious people, and B, like, especially, like, yeah, country bumpkins. They made it a point to really make fun of hicks and rednecks and stuff, and that got kind of annoying after a while, because it wasn't funny. Yeah, it wasn't slight. It was like straight in your face, and it's like comedy, and
it was one of my favorite terms, and it totally applies to how they made the people sound, the hicks. It was very ham-fisted. It was just the epitome of just a ham-fisted writing, you know, and it was just like, these people are all hicks, and this is the end of the world, and it's like, there was no, like, subtlety about it at all, and it was just like, it just was gross. I thought it was just, one point that I had to, when the guy, they turn on the lights, and he's eating the pie, and there's all the blood, and Diedrich Bader's dead, they all of a sudden hit that, like, Frank Sinatra, the Glenn Miller type, like, big band songs, and he was sliding around in the blood, and I had this just really awful image of, like, some writer guy, like, talking about, you know, it would be really great, and he's just cracking himself up, like, writing this, like, it's gonna be like, it's blood, this thing. It's like a cartoon comes along, oh my god, and you know that the one guy, when the hillbilly guy was talking to the woman about eating meat, and then he says, well, how about beaver? I just imagine that guy literally slapping his knee, too, going, oh, so great. This
is funny.
But then, to be positive, though, I would also say that the only thing that was, like, somewhat okay about it is that the idea of that you could have a box, and then if you pulled hair or something off somebody and put it in this box, you could control them, that's kind of interesting. You could go somewhere with that.
All right, they get a 0.5 point for the idea.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, am I just full of shit?
No, it's not a bad idea, but it was so poorly executed. Oh, here we go. Speaking of poorly executed.
Now this is when everybody, all the people under possession were line dancing, right?
Yeah. Oh.
A little bit of rap in here. Really? Yeah, that's right. It's suffer. Oh. Oh, and then they dance. I forgot about that. Oh, crap.
Yeah, it's the line dancing. Yeah.
It's Thriller line dance.
And I have to say, the other thing that I hated about this movie, almost as much as Jeremy Sisto's, I hated the guy who played the sheriff. and we talk about ham-fisting, he kept saying phrases, and like, you're as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, and you're about as useful as a pocket on a shirt. I just wanted just my life to end when he said those things. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find all.
So David Carradine like dies, right?
Has a heart attack.
Yeah.
He has a heart attack. Oh, the Drifter. I forgot about the damn Drifter.
Oh yeah, the Drifter showed up out of nowhere.
Forgot about the Drifter.
You should forget the Drifter because he just shows up for no reason. I mean,
did you notice how the Drifter always spoke too? Every one of his lines was like this. Like, where's every that? Single thing, like, was in this kind of a tone. It was like, oh, awful. I mean, it looked kind of like Ken Marino. I thought it was Ken Marino at first.
Here's a little Drifter for you. It's the player.
Why don't you tell us what we're up against?
Depends on how many people we're putting in that box.
Sounds like Batman.
Spirit. I just put my point. Probably the spirit is the wisest son.
What do you mean, probably?
Where's the Joker? Where is he?
The clerk said that she saw Wise in the cemetery digging up a corpse with the Chinese guy.
Ty.
Ty.
Do you happen to have some chloroceptic, or perhaps a secret?
You know what? One of my favorite memories of the Batman movies, I was watching it with my nephews, the last Batman, or I think it was the second one, and there was a part when he's talking in that voice, and he's shaking, and one of my nephews starts laughing. He goes, it looks like he has Parkinson's. Which is just horrible. But I just, every time I hear that voice, I think of the head shaking.
Like, this one when he finally lost it, he's like, where is it? Where's the bomb?
Yeah, that was, yeah, I think that's a, where is it?
Where's the bomb?
Oh, it's in this movie. That's where the bomb is. Oh, it's a piece of shit. Oh, sorry.
Let's see here. Anyway, the one guy gets possessed, uses the box. He kind of turns the whole town. Town goes crazy, start attacking people. They wake up the Drifter. He's in jail. They get him out. They knock him out. They wake him up. He basically says they got to go dig up David Carradine's bones and sharpen him into stakes. And then they have to stab the head guy with his bones. And that'll fix the deal. And anyway, so they go to dig up David Carradine. They take him up. More people die. They get the bones out. Pretty quickly, they get back there, and then the one girl who's lived longer than most of the other people, not ever Carradine with the chainsaw, but the other girl, she stabs the head zombie guy, and he finally kicks the bucket, and the remaining living parties get an RV and drive away, but they take the magic box that caused all the trouble, and they sit on a pile of fire. They build a fire, burn some stuff. They throw the box on the top of it, and magically the box doesn't burn. And you'd act like you could almost have another movie, but they did not because it sucked.
God. But you know one that, like, I don't know why, but Tim, do you remember when we used to watch wrestling and we used to always try to, when it was really bad, and we would always try to come up with something positive or something nice to say about it, you know? There were a couple things in this that I could say, like, I liked that they made zip guns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the pipes with the shells and they would hit it with the hammer. I liked that. I'm glad that they killed the sheriff. They snapped the sheriff's neck.
Oh, that's true. What about the? You weren't baffled by the fact all of a sudden she's like she could just whip up a zip gun without like any prodding. She was just like, oh yeah, just cut these pipes in half and we'll make zip guns, and boom, they had every tool they needed to do it. That was the other part.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I mean, I know what a zip gun is because I don't want to tell you why. Let's just say that there was a family member who was incarcerated who knew how to make those. And also had to, but it was with a nail and a rolled up newspaper. But anyways,
so was it scientifically and mechanically engineered, like, correct?
That is one way to do something. But it's the way that they were actually being able to aim it and stuff, that I don't think that would have worked. And you had to be up really close, is what he said. Like, he said you almost had to, like, push it, like, up to their belly and to make the nail go in or whatever. Huh. Yes. Oh, sorry. But this is taking a dark, this is taking a spooky turn. Spooky family history of white trash people.
Kane, Undertaker.
What was the other thing? So, okay, so, like, I like that the box thing. I like the zip gun. I like they killed the sheriff. Oh, and I love that they killed Jeremy Sisto. Like, chopped his head off.
Pretty early.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't have to listen to his dumb ass. But boy, there's not a lot. I hate this sheriff. There was a lot of, like, when they would have these rock moments, they would have that really, like, ninth-rate corn version or music, you know? Like, that was, like... But I thought the ending was kind of anticlimactic for as much as that they kind of... as it is. Oh, this is one thing I wrote. You remember how she was using the drill on some of the zombie things when they were coming in?
Yeah.
Well, I realized that, like, I would be dead when that happened because... This is like one of my, like, I don't know why I'm so bad at this. I can never get the drill bit put in correctly with the key chuck, so like the bit would be flying out if I tried to drill a zombie in the head, and I would be taking the key chuck and I would be cursing and I would probably get killed. So that's about all I got. That's about all I could get out of this movie is like zip guns. I wouldn't be able to drill because I'm bad with the key chuck.
I'm trying to think some, like, so they did it at the end of the movie. Then in the credits, they had the band is back and non-zombied, and they basically sing the whole movie over the credits.
Oh, God. They did that. They used that way too much. I hated that band. I hate everything about it. In fact, the last line of my notes are, take us out, douchebag country fake guy.
Okay.
But not take us out now, no. That'd be too scary. Oh.
The only place in town, you see, but they were greeted warmly by Death, Horror, and Fright. Yeah, such a quiet little town. Never had too much trouble around here. Let's be a little peace. But we were haunted by disease, and now there's all this crazy shit that's going on.
Oh my God, what are you doing, like mix master now?
That's enough of that closing music.
Oh, man, and right around there in the credits, we saw who got to play the skinky chick and tall hick. So that was awesome.
Yeah, and there was one that was like, it's a like townswoman foaming at the mouth was one of the other.
Yeah, and that's credits. What bothered me. Like the whole scene where they go to the town hall and that one chick with the bad teeth shows up out of the blue wanting to dance and shit. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, can you really, you guys are trying really too hard. I understand there's like a certain sect of people that are kind of bumpkin-y, but oh my God. I mean, ugh. Could you be a little more creative in trying to characterize right. people? Because then it's like, oh, I'm an idiot. Look at my corduroy pants. Oh, here we go. Boop, 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 boop.
There's that perception that everything between Los Angeles and...
Walking, talking stereotypes.
Exactly. I was just wondering, like, you think that this was, like, the guy who wrote the script was, like, a guy that's never really spent any time, like, around country people?
In big cities, and he might have been to Texas once, and then he thinks it's everything outside of
Dallas. Just think this guy probably got to country was remembering the opening credits to Simon and Simon. And that was about it.
But, you know, it's kind of like, maybe this is too philosophical and thinking too deep of this, but all these things, like when they have these hillbilly people that are dirty and smelly, like they have like bad teeth and they're like, they're the butt of the joke. It's like, how do you not know that maybe like those guys, like they're really self-conscious about their teeth and they feel bad. Or they feel Kathy about it. It's kind of a dumb thing. Like, who in their right mind is like, in all movies, and not just this piece of crap, but like all cinema. In all cinema, they always do that. They always do the whole thing where like they're almost like proud of like they're dirty and smelly. Like, no one's proud of when their teeth are bad and dirty and smelly.
Well, except maybe the British.
No. Oh. Who?
Maybe the British.
The British.
Yeah.
Oh, irony.
And
scary
I like
irony.
That record. Scary dental work. That's my favorite. That's like the heavy metal, like, guitar picking, like the finger tapping.
There.
So with this year's movie, I think was worse because the Lucha Murder, I think was or what did you keep Lucha Murder? What was it called? WrestleManiac.
WrestleManiac. WrestleManiac's a better movie than Dead and Breakfast.
Yeah, it is better, and it had Taylor Dane.
Well, not all movies have Taylor Dane.
We always have Taylor Dane. But so Tim, do you want to tell see if Hokie has seen the piece of crap that you made me watch the other night, like via text, like enticed me in?
Oh, I'd send to him too. I don't know if he got around to it.
Did you get to see Jason Goes to Hell, Hokie?
No, I haven't. At least I don't remember it.
Have
I remember
you ever
seeing
seen
Jason X and Jason versus Freddy, but I don't really remember Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh man, I should have picked that because that was at least kind of entertainingly bad.
It was awful.
Oh, it's bad. It's just so bad. And it was a little ahead of itself, I'll say that, without giving anything away.
Well, it just, to me, it wasn't really a Jason movie. It was a movie really about, like, what was the name of that movie with Kyle MacLachlan when the alien comes to life and it hops from person to person and he's chasing him?
And he pukes out his mouth into people. It's like a
And it was really good. That was like really good and suspenseful. But this was basically like just a version of that. And I'm like, Goes to Hell. I was like, okay, well, if Jason's like in hell and has to fight a whole bunch of demons and shit, and there's like, or people that he killed, I'm like, this may be kind of good. I'm like, when did he go to hell? He just went to a diner.
It was better than Dead and Breakfast, though.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely. It had Aaron Gray in it, so that helps a little bit. Because I remember from Silver Spoons.
Oh, wow. I remember that movie. He literally did have a Silver Spoon.
Yeah. Hits. Nope.
Wow. That was the most ejected music hitting request ever.
I know. I was like, hit the music. I need some more candy.
You're crashing. That's what it is.
That movie you were talking about with the aliens is called The Hidden.
It's called what?
The Hidden.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Meshuggah. I was like, what? It's like, do you know what that is? We can't talk about what that is.
Yeah, so I guess we can all agree that Dead and Breakfast really wasn't that good.
Yes,
no.
You shouldn't fast forward.
It's at the bottom of the list.
There's no boobs. You're right. Boobs would have saved
this.
Or at least would have made it.
Yeah.
I would have been a little less. I would have been more forgiving if there were boobs, but there wasn't. I mean, that's nice. You found in favors from big A-list celebrities like Deidre Bader, but, you know, unless he's sporting a big old pair of D-cups, isn't he going to make this movie any better?
I was sitting there like writing down all the movies that we've done this for like over a year now, right? This podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was going through all things, and this is definitely in the bottom of the list. And to me, this one goes down with kind of around, it's better than Santa Claus, but it's better than Santa Claus and better than Shanghai Surprise, maybe, but it's, I think, Slapshot 2 and 3 were worse.
Oh, God. Yeah?
But that was more... Yeah, boy.
That was a double whammy, wasn't it?
Oh, boy. You know what? It's probably worse than Slapshot 2 and 3.
You think Dead and Breakfast is worse than Slapshot 2 and 3?
Well,
maybe it's worse than Slapshot.
Well, no. The question is whether or not there were... I couldn't remember if there were boobs in Slapshot 2 or 3.
I don't think there were. I know that the one of them was like PG. Like one of them was almost like a Disney kid
one
movie.
One of them was like the Mighty Ducks with the Hanson brothers. That was three. That sucked. Although, it's the Hanson brothers. At least they have, like, character development. At least they're developed characters, however goofy they are. These guys, I mean, everybody in this Bed and Breakfast movie was all just kind of, like, cut out. And, oh, God, feeble attempts at making any kind of social commentary revolving around those cut-out cardboard characters were just even more painful and scary than the actual blood and gore itself. I mean, at least Slapshot... Slapshot had, like, something. I'm trying to find something redeeming for this besides...
Oh, I thought of something. I have to say, I was happy that the special effects, not that they could afford this, but that it wasn't CGI. I mean, some of the gory stuff, I mean, if you're into gore, some of it wasn't done that poorly.
I just started started listening to the Joe Rogan Experience on a podcast form.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And he spent a whole episode, I just listened to it today, talking with this makeup artist. And that's exactly what he was talking about, is like how he could see through all this CG stuff, and it's just... He could tell he couldn't let go that it was like fake, and it just turned to shit. Things turned to shit for him when he does that. But he made the case that, like, you know, real blood, or like at least stuff that was like half real, half fake, you know, either with like a mask or something like that, helped to suspend that disbelief more. And then he tried out American Werewolf in London and said that was like one of the greatest horror movies ever, and that werewolf transformation scene was the shit. So.
Yeah.
So along those lines, coincidentally, I'd say that there, it was good that there was like they used real blood and they didn't get all like Rambo, John Rambo.
Yeah.
They didn't get all John Rambo and use CGI blood like that. I have to say, I draw the line at that. If you're, I mean, I think Expendables did it too, although I don't know to what extent.
If you're gonna go balls out violence, go ahead and spring for the blood.
Walking Dead does it too.
Yeah, Walking Dead is a lot like any of the things when people get shot or anything. It's always like CGI and like I hate it.
Sometimes they will go ahead and go the extra mile, but then like the next episode, it'll be like
it's like
a cartoon exploded out of his head.
Yeah, well, when they shot the one zombie thing on the porch, and it was like it took off his head, and it was really cratered and stuff, I was like, ooh, that's really gross. And I was like excited about that. I was like, oh, that's, you know, I'll give you that, you know. But yeah, I'm gonna have to listen to that. Dude, that sounds fascinating. I know it sounds weird to say, but I would love to listen to somebody talk about like special effects and horror movies for an hour.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're starting to do a little bit. Like, okay, like it wasn't CG, and I appreciate that's one of the things I liked about it. I like the guy was obviously like the Jim Carrey of zombies after he got transformed, and he's like, oh, I'm funny, wacky, religious zombie guy. And I'm like, I get it. It's over the top, you know. Just let me know when you're done talking out of your butt. But the things that I did enjoy is when he would carry that head around and use it as like a puppet. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
See, you found something. Yes. You found something.
Yes.
All right.
I found something scary positive about Dead and Breakfast.
I have a positive outlook on life.
And that's scary.
I'm a positive individual with 401k and dental.
Buying back shares in the company and investing.
I buy stocks in fake blood.
Oh, that's scary. Oh, that's scary. That's got to be in my next fun house. You have to be like, you have to be 20 and under to get in.
That's the NAMBLA fun house.
Oh, hey. You must be 13 to take this ride. Put your hand in this bowl. What does it feel like? Paper? No, it feels like it's my mortgage.
Oh, how does it go the other way? That's not a candy bowl. It's my butt.
What do you got paper in your butt, sir?
I got a Snickers in here. So I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you guys, what are some of your favorite, like, like movies, like Halloween movies, like that are really scary. Like, or like what is, I guess maybe stay in the positive of being positive, like the spirit of positivity.
When I saw Blair Witch Project in the theater, that freaked me out. That was really good.
Me too. I loved it when I saw it. I actually say the second one, even though it's just a stupid horror film, it's not the worst thing I've ever
seen. It ushered in this whole generation of shaky cam stuff, though, so we had some kind of payback for that. Because, I mean, some of the shaky cam stuff is kind of cool, but then it gets tired really quick, and then my eyes get tired. It was the first to do that, and let's be honest here, it was like the first real like viral internet campaign as well. Like people were logging into AOL and like searching online for like, you know, clues about this Blair Witch Project. It was genius. And then when the movie came out, I was legitimately scared because, again, all that unseen horror and all the disbelief and all that other stuff.
I got to go to a premiere of it, and when you came in there, they handed you like a missing flyer with those kids. Oh. They had somebody handing those out, and I knew it was a work going in, but there were people there who obviously didn't know. But then that last scene with the kid and the guy like standing in the corner, and then this I was like, oh
yeah, and then it just
kind of, and
it's perfect because it's like the ghost stories you hear at the campsite, right? There's only that split second where it's like, oh, the big twist, and then it's done. It's like you drop the mic and you get out. I mean, that's how you don't long play horror movies. You don't actually.
Right.
You don't drive off in the sunset in the RV. You end it there.
No.
You end up in the basement facing the corner.
Yeah, that's fucking really scary.
I thought it was just so, and that's why, like, and people now, like, just shit all over it. And I'm like, you have to understand, like, how, like you were saying, like, it's place and time, like, the whole viral aspect of it. And it was just, I love all the paranormal
activities and bullshit and.
Those are such dog shit.
They're like making 10 of them, and it's like, come on. That was legit. I was legitimately scared at that. I can't remember any other movie I've seen in the theater within the last 10 years that scared me as much as that did. But I don't go to many. I don't go to many horror movies anymore. I used to see horror movies, but I stopped.
I don't understand why I watch so many. I think it's because like when I was a kid, I was so scared by Alien, like the first one, like watching it with my dad. And I know I've told this probably before, but I just remember watching it the second time, and my dad like telling me, he's like, "Hey, it won't be the scary this time. It's like a roller coaster ride. We know what the scary parts are." But like I love that feeling of being scared, and it's really hard to do that now to me. So when it does happen, I'm like really excited. Like I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Put your hat in this other bowl. What is it? It's a birth certificate for a new child. Ooh, you have to take care of a kid now. Mike's fun house of responsibility. All those kids walked out all white knuckled and pale faced.
Oh man, they come in there and look you.
What's in this bowl? Like, Advil for the hangover you'll get after a night of drinking. Ooh. You'll never experience the pain like you'll feel being hungover. What's hungover? Exactly, kid. Ooh.
And what's in this bowl? Ooh, a transcript of all your booty calls that you did when you were drunk and your sex texts and pictures of your dick.
What's this?
That's
cute. It's a registration form for sex offenders. Ooh. That's what you get for sending dick pics.
You actually sent it to your niece.
So and here's the list of things you have to do to be able to sell your house to bring it to code.
Here's the back brace.
You've got a drill for sizing.
Here's the back brace you'll get after hours of yard work breaking your back just to keep on the damn leaves off the lawn.
You go around the corner, there's an adjustable desk that raises for your carpal tunnel. Like, ooh, your hands and joints are numb.
No. Stick your finger in a list. It feels like Vaseline, sir. Yes, for the prostate exam!
No! It's a tunnel. It's a textured tunnel of horror. You're a creepy.
Oh, scary
spider, mister. Oh, man. Oh, but so Blair Witch, we all agree on. That's kind of amazing. Because usually, most of my friends don't like it.
But it's like one of those movies you can't really watch again. Usual Suspects, you can watch it again because you can, pick up clues and shit. But, Blair Witch, you can't really do that. It was more fascinating. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, then.
No, the kid standing in the corner does still freak me out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about it.
It was more fascinating reading up on how they made the movie after I got done watching it than anything else.
Yeah.
Because they literally just they sent him out in the woods and then they gave him each instructions every day, but the other actors didn't read it. So then they just kind of play off of each other. It was genius. Because then the guys will come up and shake shit around and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and what they would stay overnight there too. Like they were really camping out there and people were really fucking with them.
Like
in the night.
And the crew would.
Or what about when you hear the little kids' voices? Like it was hitting the side of the tent?
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene, when they're sleeping and they're like, what was that? And then the camera turns on and then you hear the little, they're running and then they're hitting the side of the tent. I mean, oof. Like, you couldn't give me a prostate exam right now because I'm a little puckered just thinking about that. It's a little scary.
You need the jaws of life to get into that bad boy.
They're going to have to watch some Hardcastle and McCormick to loosen me.
And like it always does, Where's my glass of scotch?
To dip your finger in scotch. But I've been meaning to ask because I get such mixed reactions. What do you guys think of the Rob Zombie movies that he's done?
You know what? We kind of bring it full circle back to the Halloween movie. I was in the gym last night, and they had Rob Zombie's Halloween remake, and it gave me a wonderful opportunity while I was sweating my ball sack off to, kind of compare the two movies. And I have to say, I missed the first part, and I quickly went to Wikipedia to get the plot summary, but it looked to me like they did a lot better job of giving a backstory to Michael.
I love his films, and it's they're so weird. Tim has to unfortunately listen to me ramble. Every time when one of his films comes out, I go see it and then I call him. I'm like, and then this happened, and it's so weird because you're sitting in the theater at AMC and people are walking out. It's amazing. But the Halloween remix, the first one is half a good movie, and then part two is I actually just watched it a little bit of it tonight again, but it just. It's really good. The when they show him like roaming the countryside with a giant beard and he's all homeless and crazy looking. It's just I just think it's so terrifying.
I liked about the first remake is some of the decisions made in the first movie just wouldn't fly, and I think it also kind of helped that that Rob Zombie kind of upped the body count a little bit too. I was really happy about that.
Yeah. And he does a lot of stuff with really interesting visuals, stuff that, Tim and I Tim, you've watched a lot of those Coffin Joe movies, haven't you?
Yeah, I've watched those.
You remember that one that was just all just clips of little scenes all edited together?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. He uses a lot of that really weird. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the Coffin Joe stuff, Hokey.
No, it sounds like a wrestler.
It's brilliant.
You should see it. Horror filmmaker.
Yeah, it's the first Brazilian film horror films, and it's the mid '60s, and the first two were in the '60s, and then he did stuff in the '70s, but it's really it's not gory or gross. It's kind of I guess in the sense the Blair Witch, where it's your mind is kind of what makes it so freaky.
Well, and isn't that what Rob Zombie tried to do with that Coven movie or whatever the hell his wife was in?
The Lord of the Sandals. Yeah, I bought that. I love that film. It's a really just visually, that was the one I told Tim that it was like, it was just miraculous to be sitting there in a big theater on the day it opened to watch it. There were like six people in there and like four of them left. But I don't take that as like a bad thing. I just think it's like, it's a little more, I don't know, you just have to stick with it. It's a little more challenging. You know, it's more challenging than the Fast
and Furious. It's kind of like those movies, from what I understood of it, I haven't seen it, but from what I understood of it is that it was more of a slow burn kind of play that you'd see in a lot of those 70s horror movies, where it wasn't all like blood and gore and a guy in a mask, but it was all like, you know, there's some weird shit going on, and I can't quite put my finger on it. It's like I'm looking at something at the corner of my eye, but I can't quite focus on it. And then at the end, it comes into focus, and it's like the girl standing in the corner in the basement.
Yeah. And I the Lords of Salem, like, I bought it, like, the week it came out and rewatched it. And it's interesting to me. Like, I like horror movies when inanimate objects are almost like a cast member, you know? And, like, her, like, apartment in the building was almost, it was so eerie and creepy, where and the music too, like the music that kind of put everyone in a trance was just so damn creepy.
So was it like,
where it was almost like it was,
so did you like the Amityville Horror then?
You know what, I've never really got into those. Everyone said that the more recent one with Ryan Reynolds is a surprisingly good movie, and everyone has told me, it's like, you need to watch it, they're like, it's really,
you sure
good.
They're not just so, a fan of Ryan Reynolds, he was Deadpool.
Well, he isn't. I always think of him as Billy in 15, this Nickelodeon teen drama series I used to watch.
Ooh, Nickelodeon
teen.
Goosebumps.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do you guys know what 15 was?
Oh, man, I do remember that. Very.
Was that you do? Okay.
That's all right. You don't want to.
So, it's hard to get into the slasher stuff anymore, because we've seen so many slasher stuff, it's laughable what they do. Like, really, like...
Very formulaic.
Yeah, and really, I mean, you can't top the original Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, it's just...
The
suspense of you know, getting into impossible situations and finding their way out. Which I think is what Rob Zombie did in The House of a Thousand Corpses, but then he's like, no, you can't get away. And that was like his big contribution to it. But like, we've seen so many horror movies where, you know, I mean, just Las Vegas Bloodbath alone. You can see people just get cut up for every reasons, even for eating donuts and pizza.
You know what's a really, really good, sorry to jump in, but like, what's a really good series now, and I'm probably touted this like ad nauseum, but the whole VHS thing, as far as like the shaky cam scary thing goes, the first one was pretty good, but the second one is really good. And I think one of the Blair Witch guys does a video on it, or does one of the stories on it. And so, I mean, there's times, there's stuff I think that's good.
You should also, if you guys haven't watched it, watch the ABCs of Death.
Yeah, is that good? You liked it.
It's so weird. It's scary. Some of it's dumb. Some of it's scary. Some of it's really disturbing.
Really good. Oh, God, I gotta watch that.
I'll tell you this. Amidst these, one of the horrible things that happens, and I won't tell you where this is, there's some scary stuff that happens with this, but at one point someone farts and then flies up and lives inside this other person's butt. And it's done very surreal style and it's done very seriously.
Wow.
And the whole movie is not just a giant fart joke of people living in butts. But there's some,
I was gonna
there's
say,
a, no,
ten,
no, that's, 10 that's
year old
one,
me would love it.
No, no, that's,
39 year old me already does.
But you do need, you will need subtitles, because some of them are from different countries.
That sounds great.
There's one that's very, very, very messed up. There's one that's very quick. Some of them are like 10 seconds, and then some of them are, you know, 15 minutes. But there's some of them are stupid, and you're like, okay, that's a throwaway. But then there's other ones, you're like, yeesh. There's one that's very, very messed up.
Like Faces of Death messed up?
It kind of gets to that. There's one of them that I wouldn't say it necessarily looks real, but it's just the entire. It's one of those things. Doesn't the implied
Faces of Death put what? On? I'm sorry.
No, Faces of Death's a work. I mean, the first one, the first Faces of Death. I remember watching these, getting the VHS videos and like with your friends on a Friday, and like they would show clips from new stuff, and there was some of it, but like after like the first one, it was all bullshit. I mean, most of it was. I mean, they would show clips of like, you know, airplane accidents and car wrecks, but interspersed in those, like Faces of Death was a work because you could recognize some of the same people in some of them. So. I say duty on the basis. I don't like
him. You call shenanigans.
You what?
You call shenanigans on faces.
Yeah. It's called horse shit of death.
Like, there is a rumor floating around that they're going to remake Faces of Death and take that doctor as like the guy Dr. Gross and have him like be like the progenitor of all this crazy shit, and then have him be a bad guy or something.
Oh. No, we used to do Dr. Gross imitations. My dad would like tilt his glasses and be like, "I'm Dr. Gross."
You know what? You know what else they're remaking?
What? What's that?
You know another fine thing from the past?
Godzilla.
Oh. No. They're remaking Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote?
Murder, She Wrote.
With an old lady or a young hip lady?
Middle-aged lady. It's a black lady. She's a nurse, and she is like a self-published mystery writer, and then she kind of takes over that mantle of Jessica Fletcher.
Wow. That's pretty horrific. Are they? I wonder if they're going to market it to the older people, or if they're trying to make it like a younger, hipper version, like those TNT dramas that they show.
Like a sexy Angela Lansbury or something.
Well,
I hate this. I'm going to say this, but I don't know. This should be on record, but she was pretty good looking in Manchurian Candidate.
What did you say?
Angela Lansbury was attractive in her day.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say. I've known you for like 13 years.
Yes, spooky Lansbury attractiveness.
That's like she strikes me as one of those people. Like when she was born, she was already an old lady. You know how some people just always look old and always a grown up? I just can never imagine her looking like she was in her 20s.
I kind of feel like most of the actors from the 40s always look like they were old.
Yeah. And, like, you look at pictures of, like my, like, great-grandpa, like, his baby pictures, he already looks like a coal miner at 7 months.
I'm a murderer.
He already looked grizzled. Like, life is hard, and I'm a baby who works 40 hours a week. Sucks.
That's because he was coal mining when he was like 4, probably.
Oh boy, that is truly a spooky Halloween thing to say. That Angela Lansbury.
So the scariest movies. I picked Blair Witch Project. John, I forgot. What'd you pick?
What's your scariest? Your two.
Tim, what did you pick?
Scariest.
I'm still cooking here. Oh,
man. Well, I said flannel pajamas over the first one.
That's
just,
really good.
That
seemed big. 500
Days of
Summer. I don't know about you guys.
500 Days of Summer is the scariest movie I've ever seen.
I'm trying to think. I will second the Blair Witch because townhouse with my friends in college when you're not going to be scared of much at all. And we argued about who was going to go in and turn the lights on in the.
I know. Like my friend Greg, when I saw that movie, said
we're in our 20s, right? Okay. Let's go in and turn the lights on.
Can we just leave it at Blair Witch? Let's just all collectively agree that.
Let's take the unique road and let's just say that we picked the Blair Witch as one of the scariest.
I think it's a scary damn movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And if I think about the guy in the basement when I'm alone in the dark, I'm going to be scared.
Well, that's, I think I talked about that. I think I talked about that last year. That was one of my more scarier moments, was having to watch, was watching, when I lived in the basement, was watching Unsolved Mysteries, and that theme song would come on. And then the shit that would really make me crap my pants is when they had nothing. And it was like... Right after, like, the fake alien scene, where it'd be all like, do aliens exist? Do they exist? And it'd be some fucking yokel in a mask peering up from behind someone's couch in a trailer out in bumfuck Arkansas, and they're like, oh, we might have evidence here, and then all of a sudden, update! And then that's when, like, my bowels would just release in terror, and I'd have to clean the bed.
I have to say, though, like, I love... There you go.
Still don't know where the
fuck... Can you find something on the fly, Tim?
The Unsolved Mysteries
with, that's the footage of the guy watching the fire burn, the pyromaniac guy. And this is if you can find that, that's the creepiest way to end this episode. If the creepy guy, if they found these footage of this guy who was setting these fires, and he would video the fires, and he sits there and he talks and he narrates it, and it's absolutely creepy. It's amazingly scary. But I would still watch Unsolved Mysteries if it was on.
I would too, man. Robert Stack is a legend.
Do you know what show that used to scare me? And I think I brought this up before on the podcast too. Is In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. That music used to scare me to death.
Is that not unlike Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Yeah, or not. Which Tim and I went to the Ripley's Museum, and it was
hell yeah,
did
man!
You find it?
I've been to the one in Branson, and I think I've been to one more up north. There's one up north. I forgot where. I love Ripley's Believe It or Not. That is so awesome. And if you guys, if you ever find your way down in the Austin there, John, I could swing you by the Museum of the Weird, which now features a Carney show. So just kind of a. There's no mortgages or anything scary like that, but there's like when I drug a buddy of mine who came down here earlier this year over there, like one guy was the carny that could drive a nail through his skull, and then another one was just like a midget guy that shocked himself with like a battery or something, and he was also he also did all the rim shots for the jokes, so that was. You would get a genuine treat out of that and the shrunken heads and shit, because it was like a third rate Ripley's Believe It or Not, and it's like smack dab in the middle of the Sixth Street in downtown Austin. And you would have fun there. You would, because the merch in the front is all like stuff you get at Spencer's and like magic stuff. And like stuff like that, so it's pretty cool. The Museum of the Weird is awesome.
I definitely need to get down there soon to visit. I need a vacation anyhow. So, but Tim, did you find it?
Hang on.
So I love Ripley's Believe It or Not, and I would get books and stuff. Man, I was into that hard.
Yeah. Well, those shows were just. Maybe it was just like I'd watch them now and they would stink, but they captured your imagination. And it's like the whole like rule of thirds. Like, you know, when you don't see the rest of it, and your mind just starts filling things in, and that's what makes stuff really scary. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not. That's like why this movie, like the whole bed and breakfast business, so ham-fisted. They didn't really let your mind linger or wander.
They pretty much strangled your eyeballs and would not let go. And it was like, and it wasn't even very good. They weren't trying to kill the people in the movie. They were intentionally just trying to kill any entertainment value for us. So really,
yeah,
it was like an abstract horror movie. It was really, we were the victims, not the people on the screen. Yeah.
That's what we take from this movie. Like, we were truly the victims.
We were truly the victims of this movie.
Well, because I don't understand, like, philosophically, when people write these things, I don't understand, like, what do you intend? Like, do you know subconsciously that this is a piece of shit when you're doing it? Does somebody really think it's good and funny? It just, I guess that's where my mind wanders. So I guess I have to do the work myself when it comes to getting any sort of thing out of it.
Well, I mean, but then you have to realize that I think it's just more of a proximity deal because, you know, the Slapshot guy can make movies that are 10 times worse than this and somehow they get made. Underground comedy movie? I mean, there's no cosmic explanation for how that movie got made except for the fact that, hey, he lived in L.A., and that was about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a proximity deal. Like, I'm sure the guy who wrote this movie was like, I live in L.A., and now that makes me a writer. So.
Yeah. Well, didn't he get a public access, too, for a while? So then I just don't know how you get funding. I don't know how things get greenlit. I don't know why they keep remaking things over and over. I don't understand anything.
It's because you bet on a sure thing than you do taking a risk. And that's why some of the greatest horror movies have been ones that have been on a shoestring budget because it introduces those constraints. And you can make people scared on the cheap. You don't need blood. I mean, we just talked about how, like, Blair Witch was made for nothing, right? So
all the footage of America's Most Wanted pulled down from the web via a copyright. It was posted in a lot of places, and a couple of them said it's the number one scariest they had.
This plays right to what we've been talking about. So just imagine how scary that is. It would be scarier in your mind with the proximity what we've been talking about. I'm actually hearing the video. See, I'm trying to be positive. What is going on with my podcast?
I'm
going
to look around for it and see if I can't find it for the next
Lopez.
Kim's like, horseshit, that's not good enough for me.
No.
Lopez. Hey, Lopez.
Well, I guess, should we wrap it up then? So we've gone even a little long, but it is a holiday, so, you know.
Yeah, that long.
Actually,
yeah.
No, actually, last week was longer than this, but...
Lopez!
Running
spooky long,
I've got a cat on my chest right now, and he's purring.
You have bursitis, ooh, you can't jump as high as you used to.
I love the organ music. Tomorrow's going to stink. There's not going to be any organ music in any of my phone calls.
Now, feel this. It feels like powder. It's gold ball.
I need to make sure I don't get swabbed. Give me the gold bond. Oh, boy.
I don't even know what it is,
All right, well, happy Halloween, and I guess next year we have to find another movie of guys in a van and girl in an RV getting stranded.
It's a very special Gonzoween.
Gonzoween is actually November 8th, so.
Oh, okay.
Week-long celebration from when we taped on this old spooky Apollo's Eve to November the 8th.
It's so scary.
It's kind of like Advent, except there's no stupid doors to open.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, well, good night, fellas.
I have not picked the movie yet because of the short turnaround time for packing one into the can. So look for at some point in the next week or two my pick, because it's my turn, right?
Yep.
It's my scary turn. Ooh. I'm going to tell you this. It's not Backfield in Motion. Ooh. Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold.
It is or it is?
Oh, man. So look for that on the Facebooks and the Twitters. Hit us up. Gonzo Guy is pretty much anywhere there's a social network. We don't have Instagram because, I mean, do you really want to see us take pictures of
No, boo on.
No, you don't want to see. No. So Facebook.com/GonzoGuys,
Twitter.com/
at GonzoGuys.
And giveaways are coming. Watch all those social media.
Yeah, and stay spooky. I don't have anything really scary to say anymore.
So, no. All right. Well, happy Halloween or happy Gonzo-ween, and I'll talk to you lad soon.
All right.
Good night.
Spooky night.
What the hell was that?
Just another freaky fuck making a run for the house.
We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya.
I like hemoglobin in my mouth, your frontal lobe until I spit it out, yo. We be gloating, humans taste like trout, and some after dinner smoke, so what I'm all about. So take your eyes out with tedious care, my mischievous stare and devious glare will take your greasiest pair of knees, tits, and hair, and you know I'll eat them raw. Fuck me, I'm rare.
Good as that sweet moonshine whiskey. Turn outside, you can drink some with me.
What are they doing?
Oh, they're dancing.
Guts to spill, you know the day, 'cause we be so alive when we kill, kill, kill.
We're coming to kill, we're coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya. We're coming to kill ya, we're coming to kill ya, coming to kill ya.